Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
August 28th, 2007, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, 16 by 9. Welcome back to another edition of The Digital Story. I have a fun show for you today. We're going to shake it up a little bit. We're going to change aspect ratios. You know, normally when we shoot with a DSLR, you know, we're like at a 3 by 2 aspect ratio. Or with a compact camera at a 4:3 aspect ratio. And, you know, those are, you know, basic proportions of the sensor. And that, you know, determines, you know, the shot that comes out of the camera, you know. So, you know, those pixel dimensions, if you put them in image resize or whatever, you know, they'll always boil down to 4:3 or 3:2, whatever you have there. Today, I want you to think about working in 16:9, and I've got some reasons for that. First of all, well, let me tell you where this came from. Where, you know, where in tarnation, where do I get these ideas? Well, you know what? I get these ideas from you, basically. I was on our discussion group the other day, you know, the public group that we have over on Flickr, where we have a forum and people can submit their pictures and all that good stuff. And someone was asking, well, you know, how do I add a spark, you know, to my photography? How do I re-energize it? And you know, it's a really good question because, you know, sometimes even with the photo assignments and the grab shots and the normal things we have going on, we get in kind of a rut. And it's a great question, you know, how do I get out of the rut? And, you know, my top of mind answer, you know, was things that you would normally, you know, think of like, well, you know, go out and shoot with a different lens. Force yourself to go shooting with just an 85 prime lens or just a wide angle zoom or, you know, something completely different than you normally do. And I still think that's a good idea. I think that's a very good way, you know, to kind of shake up your photography a little bit and try something different. So after I gave my top of mind answer, I just kind of kept thinking about this as I was walking around and doing, you know, all the weird stuff I do during the week. And it dawned on me, you know, I wouldn't mind kind of shaking it up myself a little bit. I've been shooting a lot lately, but I really feel like doing something different. I feel like taking completely different pictures than the assignments and the stuff that I'm working on right now. So, you know, I said to myself, well, you know, Derek, what would you do right now? You know, Mr. Smarty Pants, Mr., you know, just put a different lens on your camera photo guy. I was going, well, you know, I don't really feel like doing that. You know, I mean, you know, seemed like a good answer, you know, when I first thought of it when I was on the forum. But, you know, when it came down to really doing something, you know, I don't really want to do that. I always carry around a bunch of lenses, you know, yeah. Grumble, 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 mumble, mumble, mumble. So I said, you know, okay, here's what I want to do. And finally, it sort of dawned on me. I want to shoot in a different aspect ratio altogether. And I am really attracted to the 16:9 format. I just love it. And I first got turned on to 16:9 in both still photography and also shooting movies, which I'm going to talk about both today, with Panasonic cameras. You know, Panasonic has been making some really interesting cameras the last couple of years. I have a lot of friends who have the LX2, which is a kind of a favorite compact of serious photographers because it shoots raw, it has nice Leica lens, yada, yada, yada. And it also has this native 16:9 image sensor in it, you know, the aspect ratio of it. And then it has this wonderful, basically 16:9 LCD on the back. And, you know, this thing's just gorgeous. And I like that camera a lot, you know, and I've almost bought it 4 or 5 times. But there's just a couple more things that I want that it doesn't have. And one of them is I like a little longer zoom. So earlier this year, you know, I discovered another camera by Panasonic. And this is one that tempted me a little bit more, and that's the FZ8. And this is a cool camera. This is a 7-megapixel camera with a 12x zoom. It has a really nice zoom. It's like 36 millimeters to 432 or something like that. I'm not exactly sure, but it's 400 and something something. I think 432. And it's a Leica zoom. It's Leica glass. It's really beautiful. It's a very nice camera. It has all sorts of features. You know, they have manual control and aperture priority and spot metering and, you know, all the goodies that you would want in a camera. Another thing that it has that I like, it actually comes with a filter adapter that's really nice. And it's just a tube that screws on the front of the camera. I just leave it on all the time because when the lens extends anyway, it extends out to that point. And I can put a skylight filter or polarizer filter. You know, those are the two basic filters I've been using. Although I started, you know, it's funny when you start going through the old filter drawer. And I'm going to do just a little digression here, then I'll get back to business. But one of the filters that I found the other day when I was actually looking for filters for the FZ8, I found a Tiffin Pro Mist. Pro Mist, yeah. A black Pro Mist filter. One that, you know, I tried using for wedding photography and it just never was quite right. It wasn't quite the right mood. You know how diffusion filters are. They're either right or they're not for the shoot. And this one wasn't so much. But I tried it on the Panasonic, on the FZ8, and just played around, you know, shooting some, you know, weird stuff like Venetian blinds with light coming through and stuff with this. And, you know, it was really kind of cool and had a lot of fun. So suddenly, you know, this camera having the filter ring, you know, suddenly I could start having some experimentation. And, you know, this is a compact camera, and suddenly you're starting to think of stuff. Ooh, what if I put this filter on and shot, you know, this window and stuff like that? And you know, start having a lot of, I don't know. And, you know, then the sparks start flying, and the next thing you know, you're taking some either really cool shots or just, you know, really stupid shots, but at least you had fun doing it. So anyway, I've been playing with the FZ8 a lot. This is the part where I get back on track. I've been playing with the FZ8 a lot, and one of the things that I like about it has 16x9. Now, the sensor itself isn't a native 16x9 like the LX2, but it will crop, and it does a very nice job of that. So when you go to 16x9 in still photography, I think you go from a 7.2 megapixel sensor down to a 5.5 megapixel. But I don't care. 5.5 is enough for most of what I want to do. And it's just so much fun to shoot in 16x9. And both the monitor, you know, the LCD monitor, and then it has an electronic viewfinder too, which this is another thing I like about this camera. I use the electronic viewfinder all the time because then I can shoot like a digital SLR with it, you know, where I'm not, sometimes you're just not in the mood to hold up the camera out in front of you and look at the monitor, you know, and not only in bright sunlight, but sometimes I just don't feel like looking, well, in all honesty, like a tourist. You know, sometimes I want to put that camera up to my eye and steady the shot and, you know, look at it. So I use the electronic viewfinder a lot on the FZ8 for that very reason. And it also crops to 16x9. So suddenly you're looking at the world completely different than you were before. And believe me, composition is a whole different ballgame when you go to that aspect ratio. One of the things that I was doing a lot, actually today I was playing around with it, and a really nice summer day here in Northern California, that real soft blue sky with some pretty clouds and so forth, not too hot, a little breeze, the whole deal. And the light just slightly diffused because of the cloud cover, you know, that kind of comes in and out. So I was shooting just some fun shots with grass and buildings and then the big sky. Well, at 16x9, when you turn the camera vertically, you really get a whopping sky. I mean, I would put like just a little bit of a foreground, you know, down at the bottom of the frame and then have this gigantic sky with the clouds and stuff. And then I'd whip out the polarizer and really make them pop. And, you know, now I'm having fun. I'm really getting excited about, you know, and I'm not even doing anything really. I mean, I'm just shooting, you know, some foreground stuff with a big sky, with a compact camera, but you know, I'm going crazy doing this stuff. And that's the kind of thing that 16 by 9 will do for you, because the world just looks different. All right, so let me give you some specs here so you know what the heck I'm talking about. So it's like 5.5 megapixel when you go to 16 by 9. And the actual resolution of your shots with the FZ8, and of course there's a lot of other cameras that do this too, but you know, it's the one I have, so it's the one I'm going to talk about right now, is 3072 by 1728. That's the size of the images that I get when I shoot in this format. 3072 by 1728. And it looks really nice on most of the modern LCD screens, because most of them are some sort of aspect ratio like that. So, you know, the shot fills up, you know, your LCD monitor or your cinema display, whatever you're using, very nicely. It looks really good for electronic stuff. Now, probably, you know, okay, I can hear you right now. You know, this is the first thing. Well, Derek, what about printing, right? I mean, I heard that. I heard that thought go through your head, because, you know, what are you going to use for paper and so forth? Well, here's my big brainstorm that I had the other night. I have a Canon CP330 die sub printer. It's one of these little compact printers that you normally print 4x6 with. And I know I've talked about it on earlier shows. I just love these things because they print really, really well. And that's really something, considering you don't really have any profiles or anything. You just sort of plug it in, and most of the time it looks really good. Well, so the thing that it has, it has a regular postcard tray, but then it has this other tray for 4x8 prints, or so-called panorama prints, and the tray just comes with it. And I go, wow, I wonder if I shoot with a Panasonic and then, you know, make some prints with a little Canon die sub, how'd that look? So I checked it out. So those dimensions that I gave you work out to be 8 inches by 4.5 inches. And the Canon paper for this little die sub is 8x4. So I still had to do just a little bit of cropping when I print it. And usually what I would do is, you know, take it either from the top or the bottom, depending on the composition there, and make the shot even more panorama than it already was. So just a little bit of cropping. And then when you print directly from the camera, you have some controls too. Now, it'll either automatically crop for you, or you can kind of move things around yourself. It depends on the camera and the sort of the direct print firmware that it has in it. But either way, it's a pretty close fit. And what I'll do in the show notes is I'll actually show a picture with the 4x8 crop and in the 16x9 frame, so you can see how much is actually cropped. But this is pretty fun stuff. And then I also checked online. See, I really got ready for today's show. I checked online. I went to B&H Photo, and they are carrying the Canon paper, the 4x8 paper, that, and you can still get it. It's called, let me see, the model number is KP-24IP, and it's for the CP330 and, you know, a whole bunch of their other printers. And it's like, it wasn't that bad. It was $17 for 24 sheets and the cartridge. Pretty nice deal. So you can still get it. The paper is definitely available. And so now, okay, so now you can compose these prints. They look really great on your computer monitor. You can make very interesting slideshows, and you can make some pretty cool prints pretty easily without fooling around too much, just using this Canon printer or any of the die subs, probably do the panorama. And then if you want, you can even get the panorama frames. They still sell these in the photo stores and so forth. And, you know, go ahead and frame the thing up. So you got a whole little interesting workflow going here, with hardly any investment at all. I mean, probably a compact camera that you have right now will shoot this. Okay, now I'm going to keep going with this, because I like this almost as much as the still photography. Oh, by the way, the other thing that I like about the FZ8 and the LX2 is that they both capture in RAW. Now, the FZ8, those RAW files, Aperture won't read them right now, but Lightroom and Adobe Camera Raw does. So I can still use, you know, one of my photo workflows when I shoot RAW with the FC8. And I'll tell you, being able to shoot RAW on a compact camera, really nice, really, really big deal. Anyway, okay. So now the other thing that it does is that it shoots movies in the 16:9 aspect ratio, and it will shoot 30 frames per second at 16:9. And this is not bad stuff. The actual dimensions of the QuickTime video it produces are 848 pixels by 480. So 848 by 480. That's a pretty nice little screen capture, especially at 30 frames per second. And it'll just, I think it just keeps shooting until the card, oh no, I think it has a 2 gigabyte limit. So, you know, you can either fill up your 2 gigabyte card or, you know, you can put a 4 gigabyte card in there and then just shoot another movie. But it goes pretty long. And so then I tested this video out, and on the computer screen, it looks really good. Really good. And again, you know, you got that nice 16:9 aspect ratio. It feels like you're at the movies. You know, one of the problems I always had with a lot of QuickTime video that I shot with compact cameras, you know, in standard definition, 640 by 40, it's just too boxy. It's like, you know, it's like TV 20 years ago or something, you know, just like, ugh. You know, it's all right for if just two people are talking. If you're just doing a two shot, sure, 640 by 40 is nice. You put them in a little box, you let them talk and film it. But I mean, for fun filmmaking, you know, where you want a pen and you want to have, you know, atmosphere, and you want your video to feel like you're at the movie theater. 16:9 is definitely the way to go. And don't do this unless, you know, you're willing to be stuck with it. Because what happens is, after you shoot some video at 16:9, you will not be able to go back to 640 by 480. 640 by 40 will look so boring to you. You won't be able to stand it. So this is like one of those things, you know, I'm just projecting here, but I'm saying this is one of those things that you probably won't be able to go backwards on once you do it. This 16:9 looks gorgeous, looks absolutely gorgeous. So I played it on a high definition, a Philips high definition 42 inch, and not bad. Now, it wasn't Hollywood quality, and where I would notice a little bit, I shot all sorts of different types of video to test it, but something where it has a lot of vertical lines, like a picket fence or something, or wires, you know, like the Golden Gate Bridge, you'll notice on a pan sometimes that there'll be a little, you know, that little vibration on some of the wires. But for the most part, it was rock steady. And if you're shooting people doing stuff, it looked really good. It looked good on a regular TV set. I think I did it on a 32-inch, you know, regular Sony TV, standard definition. It looked fine. And it looks, you know, fantastic on the computer screen. So, again, here is something, you know, where you can shoot 16:9 video, have it look really neat, put it on a DVD or something, and suddenly your video looks different than a lot of other people's video, at least right now. I think at some point most people will, you know, most people that really like and care about how their stuff looks will probably start shooting in an aspect ratio like this. But right now, you know, I'm always looking for ways to separate, you know, what I do from what other people do to make my stuff look different. Right, I'll tell you, shoot your video in 16:9, people will like it. They will watch it. I mean, you know, you have to shoot something that's interesting. But you know, all things being equal, given a choice between 16:9 and 4:3, no comparison. So if you want to shake things up a little bit, you can, you know, like go out and shoot with a different lens, and I still stand by that initial response. But also, take a look at changing aspect ratios altogether. And this gets you out with a different camera, a compact camera. And you can, I'm sure if you don't have one that has a 16 by 9, you can find a friend that does and borrow it. But go out and try this. This is, you know, really a nice, suddenly you just see the world a lot differently. And then when you go back to your digital SLR, you're sort of, you know, freshened up and you're a little energized and stuff. And I think there'll be carryover back to your regular shooting also. So give it a try. That's my pitch for 16. I'm totally hooked on 16 by 9 right now. And you can't tell, can you? But give it a try, and especially if you're looking to shake things up a little bit. All right, let's see. Let's do a little virtual camera club business. Photo assignment. We have a photo assignment, right? We always have a photo assignment. This month's photo assignment is intersection. So we're getting near the end of the month, so you have till the 31st to get your submission in. I would say, and I think partly this is my fault, the entries are running a little lighter this month than normally, and I think part of it is I just sort of got August off the ground, not until a little later in the month, because I was traveling and so forth. So, okay, so my fault, but if you have a chance, see if you can get your submission for intersection in by the end of the month. This is a great chance to... you know, to really shine, because there might not be as many people this month. And then I've already thought of the photo assignment for next month, and I'm going to announce it, you know, in the next podcast, because I'm really excited about next. This is September photo assignment. I got a really good one for you. But we got to do August 1st, and I'll tell you the shots that are in I really like. There's all sorts of interesting things you can do with intersection. And the stuff that I'm seeing, one of the things that that pulls me to those shots is that their folks are doing not the traditional stuff, and so they're finding different and natural intersections in nature and out in the man-made world. So August 31st, get your shot in. Let's make a really nice gallery for August, and then I got a really fun assignment for you in September. So photo assignment is going to be some pretty good stuff here for the next 5 weeks or so. Grab shots. I asked for some grab shots, I think last show or so. So I was starting to run a little light, and some of you responded. I really appreciate. Thanks for sending your stuff in. It's in the queue. And let's go ahead and let's keep sending some more stuff in. Let's pump it up a little bit. And because you know, these shots are really important to me. I usually run them on Friday or Saturday. It's just a nice way to end the week with a great looking photo from someone from our virtual camera club. I want to remind you about the Flickr group that we have, the Digital Story Public group on Flickr. It's over 400 people now. We got over 400 members on that public group. That's really cool. Jump in on those discussions, you know, contribute. If you got an idea or you got a question or something, go ahead and start a thread. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I set that up. So you'd have a place where you could initiate conversations, or you could join in on other people's conversations. So jump in and have some fun with that. Submit your photos. And if you have a chance, you know, look for that critique tag on people who have uploaded photos and who have added the critique tag, and give them some good feedback on a few shots. And, you know, because if they put that tag in there, they want to hear from you. And as you have time, jump in there and help them out a little bit. I want to thank my sponsors for the digital story, the folks that helped me keep the show on the air, both Photo Magico, makers of the finest slideshow software for the Mac, and also Expo Disc. I still think it's the best way to create custom white balance setting for your camera so that you always have accurate color. All right, well, I think we're in pretty good shape. I want to go play with pictures a little bit more, go play some of that 16 by 9 stuff. I'm going to actually shoot some video as part of an assignment, and I'm going to use that Panasonic for that video. That's part of the reason why I've been testing it. But go out, shake up your photography a little bit, work on your photo assignment, And then meet me back here next week, and we'll have all sorts of fun stuff to talk about. All right, bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.